chilling.
Hey everybody, what's up? It's Naomi and it's Chris, and this is Street Society Podcast.
I love it.
We're gonna say Street Society Podcast together.
Okay.
Okay. Hey everybody, this is Naomi with Street Fashion Week. This is Chris with Significant Problem, and this is Street Society Podcast.
Gotcha. Yeah? Okay.
Cool.
You guys are all set?
He does this all the time, so it's like nothing for him.
But he chill. Yeah, exactly. It's just another day in the office. Exactly.
I'll be right back, so you guys can start whenever.
Thank you. No, we don't have to hit any record.
Oh
shit.
Dope.
Okay.
Cool.
Thank you. So it's just us now. No. Yeah. Should we play music?
Yes. A very low ambience in the back. Yeah.
Okay. What should I do? Pandora? What do you have?
I have Apple Music. It has playlists, but not really good ones.
Okay, so I have the Post Malone album.
Okay. As long as, yeah. Like, a very low, and, you know, of course, not loud.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm kidding. That's
I'm
kidding.
Too loud,
I'm kidding. I know. Oh. Well, when they come in, the intro, and then I'll turn it down.
When they come in, what do you mean?
I guess I could add music later.
Yeah.
I'm saying like the intro.
Oh, well, I'm thinking like having a low ambience. Oh, you mean having music loud and then going low?
And then turn it down. Yeah. No, I am right. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready, my God.
We should have brought liquor.
I know. I didn't know. You told me surprise. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I would have brought weed.
Damn. Who's coming? All right. That's cool.
People are coming?
No, well, this guy was supposed to join us, this one rapper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but he canceled.
Okay.
Are you ready? Don't get shy on me.
Right,
we have to talk.
Oh,
like,
no. We're going to be a conversation. Don't worry.
Okay.
About that.
So we're going to start.
Okay.
Ready? Yes. One, two. You don't want your headphones either?
No. You talked me out of it. Yeah, you talked me out of it. I mean, if anything, I'll do this. Okay. But I'll probably do this like at the second one.
Yeah. No, I want it. Hold on.
You want that?
Nah, fuck that.
Nah, I don't like. Yeah, I'm saying okay. The second one.
We're both so silly. Like, oh my God. Ready? Oh my God. Okay. All of this is recorded. We're gonna have all this.
Yeah, exactly. But then you can just edit it. Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
So, what about do you want Street Society Podcast together?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So let's do that.
Okay.
Hey everybody, this is Naomi with Street Fashion Week.
Chris with Significant Problems.
And this is the Street Society Podcast. So we are launching our very first podcast today. We've been sitting on this idea for a long time. I am a super African Nigerian girl who loves fashion. And Chris, my best friend, is a designer who showcases on my Street Fashion Week platform and is doing great things. The brand is growing in New York City. They just hit 10K. What's up?
What's up?
And I'm just excited to finally be able to do this. Y'all know how you have something on your list. And sorry about the music. I'm always turned. Love Migos. But yeah, so Chris is an amazing person, and you know, starting off the podcast, I wanted Chris to be our first feature. Chris, he's gonna be co-hosting with me, but for our first show, we also wanted to give you guys an opportunity to get to know Chris. The way it's gonna go with this podcast, we basically invite amazing, talented, creative people. Get to know parts of their story that you don't always hear. You know, a lot of the time we just get to see the successes of people at their end result, but not often do we get to really get to see what their journey was like, what inspired them.
I think a lot of people forget also the connection with the different categories of being creative, artists, mm-hmm. designers, platform managers, promoters.
Right.
Pretty much not understanding that we all have that same path.
We play a role.
Yeah, we all play each other role. You know, artists need clothes and needs beats and it needs someone marketing for them.
Yeah.
So I think that's one thing that we are doing here and definitely showing you all you guys is the connection between all. how the culture affects each one differently.
For sure.
And how each one helps each other. You know, exactly. I feel like that's one thing that gets lost in the idea of being successful and having partnerships. People don't understand that just because someone do something that you don't do, don't mean that you can work with them also.
For sure.
You know?
And, you know, I like that you said about that everyone's kind of connected and that we all kind of help each other, because the artists that go the furthest are the ones, you know, that are eye candy a little bit. They got to look good. You got to know how to dress.
They diverse. They're everywhere.
Stay up on your fashion. And so they need fashion designers, but simultaneously, artists have a lot of influence. So them rocking a brand's piece does elevate the value of that brand automatically.
That's for
you
sure.
You know what I'm saying? And so speaking about brands, talk to me about your brand's significant problems. Like I said, you guys have done New York Fashion Week a couple seasons now. LA Fashion Week, everything you guys drop sells out automatically.
Yeah.
So before we even get into what the new phase of your brand is, talk to me about how you guys started the brand, how you and your partner Rich met.
My brand literally started in Japan, of course, in a different country than the one that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the military for 4 years, and when I was stationed in Japan. And when I was stationed in Japan, it's a different lifestyle, but man, the culture is just like New York. I mean, it is the swag, the fashion, the taste. Oh man, it's amazing. And
let's not forget about the partying.
That's a whole different story. I could talk for that for hours, but the clothes and everything, it pretty much gave me an idea. When I seen it, I'm like, this damn, you know, these people will not only dress like us, but they're like,
their style is crazy. They
are innovating in so many levels. And the one thing that I really loved about it is how close we were. How a New Yorker, literally, I mean, me being a New Yorker, running into Japan and Tokyo,
you
fit perfectly. I mean, everything
there's
with
no
you.
There's no culture shock.
There's no culture shock. Everything, big buildings, flashy clothes. Everybody, I mean, it was a great experience. But with that experience, it was also pros and cons. The military was more of a focus, robotic, a system. And with me personally, I am somebody who's rarely spontaneous. Everything is always on the move and on the spot.
It's all about the balance. I think I was just talking to you about that recently, how I feel, and I'll admit, like, I feel like I need more discipline in my life. You feel what I'm saying? And having that structure that the military probably offered you, coupling that with your creative nature, I mean,
I always tell everybody, the joke I always say is after military, they pretty much created a machine. You know, they created a machine that was focused on doing something.
So once I
had the idea and I had the creativity, but I didn't think I had the motivation and the skills.
Okay.
And
skills you can always learn. You're human.
I did not know that until afterward. The Navy, I found out, like, you can learn what you need to do. You know what I'm saying? Everybody can create what they want to become.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the one thing, it taught me how to wake up early and go to sleep early and you know, work on point and be up for 16 hours or whatever. That is what it is. And I am proud to be, you know, a military veteran. You know, I love serving my country. It was a gift. But the one thing that I have learned from that point is that the misunderstanding of what that means. Even, you know, with, you know, maybe talk a little bit later, but with the culture, we were there to serve. We were there to help people.
Okay.
You know, and with that idea changed a lot for me. You know, my job is to help people. No matter how powerful I get, how much money I get, how much I can just walk into a restaurant and shut the shit down.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't mean anything if you don't respect anybody. You know, my job, the more successful that me and you get, will definitely mean the more that we need to serve other people. You know, I'm here to serve. I'm here to help as much as possible.
Yeah.
Give everybody the idea that, hey, for me personally, someone who had nothing, you can definitely have a lot more than what you think you deserve.
Yeah. I think that's so important that you touched on service, because I feel like that's something we've lost, you know, recently, I feel like the culture is talking about grind, you know, focus on you. There's a lot of messages about just grind, but that shit gets lonely.
It gets lonely.
You run into walls because, you know, no matter how great you are, you're going to run into a wall where you need people. And if you haven't made yourself be of service to other people, then, you know, you're not going to, it's not going to be easy to find the help when you're ready to need it. But more importantly, I feel like being of service is the best education to me. Because when you're helping people out, you're learning from them.
I mean, that's what I feel like. I feel like the secret to life, and people will be like, oh, secret to life, power, and be feared, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I think the secret to life is understanding. I think that's the secret. Once you understand, I mean honestly, J. Cole said it perfectly. Someone who understands feel no pain. You know, things don't hurt you as easily when you understand why it's being done. You know, if someone were to break your heart because they just, they don't love you no more and they want to do something else.
Yeah.
When you understand that, hey, it's not because I'm a bad person or she don't like who I am. She just needed somebody else.
They just needed somebody else.
Once you understand that, you don't hurt no more because now you understand, oh, bet. She wasn't good for me and I wasn't good for her and we're better off being on our own thing.
Right.
So the gift is understanding. And the military, I mean, I was surrounded by people from the country. I was surrounded by people in the city. I mean, I think that it gave you a different aspect, a different life. You know, somebody who me, I was in the city. I love fast pace and fast pace and loud noises.
Yeah.
People in the country don't like that. You know, we have different things. So how can you sell to somebody in the country if you don't know how they feeling?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, let's get into some other things.
Okay.
So now back to significant problems. Being that you guys, you know, are doing fashion shows, you're selling, what do you see as being the next step for you guys?
The next step would definitely be building the foundation to a stable state. Making sure that we are pretty much professional. Do you know, able to be, to hold our stand, you know, our leg in a real meeting. The next step will be.
Really quick, just to touch on that. That's one thing I stress to a lot of businesses is to always remain in a state of like educating yourself because for me, I do fashion marketing. I could help a brand out, but it's hard for me to know how to support you or to present you in certain rooms if like certain random things about your business is not set up. So it's important that you are doing that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always strive to designers that they should get your business license, have your website, get your lookbook, learn how to do a lookbook, you know, hire a publicist, or if you can't hire a publicist, once a week, once a month, you should be sending out press releases on behalf of your company. But anyway, go ahead.
No, definitely. I mean, that's what we're doing now. We're pretty much getting more out there.
Yeah.
And like you said, we just hit 10K on Instagram. The website is the main thing. The website is our next step that we're working on. We had one before, but the influx of inventory would really stop the website being at 100.
Yeah.
You know, we would miss a shirt. We wouldn't have the medium that you needed. And I didn't like that. Yeah, I didn't like that. So I took the website down to make sure we had an inventory set. And that's what we're doing. By before next year, before January 1st, the website will be up, running at 100. Hoping.
Yeah, going to do a website launch party.
Oh, man. We're going to do everything. There's a lot more going on. Definitely with the podcast happening.
Yeah.
We're definitely getting our presence. And that's the main thing, is getting that presence out there. I'm impressed when I put pictures out and the feedback that I get. So then I told myself pretty much, if your feedback is this good,
that's the measure.
Yeah.
That's the measure.
That's
because
the measure. You're doing something
right. We live
in
the world with other people. Yeah. So while I'm definitely a stickler for sticking to your goals,
stick to your guns and
sometimes
everything,
if people don't believe in you, you don't necessarily have to go with the flow. But if you are creating something to serve other people and people are not responding positively, I'm thinking you should probably re-examine.
I'll tell you something now. I'll tell you something. If I ever have to say anything, if it's the number one thing I ever have to say, when I started this brand, it was 13 of us. It's me and 12 other friends
squad.
Of mine. Squad. 12 other friends of mine. And maybe, say about 8 months into it, that was it. It was two of us. You know, everybody left because things started getting hard. And things didn't make sense anymore. It wasn't logical what we were doing. And if I had to say anything to everybody, anything had to listen to me, please listen to this. Mm-hmm. If someone comes up to you with an idea or with a set of plans, mm-hmm. and they have a goal, and a goal is to become successful or just to become comfortable. If anything I have to say, please listen to this. Just listen to what that person has to say. You have no idea what that means. You know, it could change your life. I remember afterwards when they all left me, there was about 3 months. I think we did a show in LA. Mm-hmm. And we did a show in LA, and my ex-partner hit me up. And he's like, oh, you're doing a great job. I love what you're doing. Good job.
Yeah.
And literally a week before that, I hit them up asking for, hey, guys, I need a little bit of money, and I'll pay you back. Not to keep the money. Give me some more money to do the dream that we had.
We started
and
together.
And I'll give it back to you guys.
Wow.
But don't let my dream die. And they left me on red.
Damn.
You know, they left me on red, and they were like, nah, we're good. You know?
Yeah.
I want to go party more. I don't want to give you money. I don't believe in the dream that you have.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, you're like, yo, bro, good job on your dream. You know, you did it. And I'm like this. Yeah, I did it.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't help me. Don't come
people
at me.
People love to fantasize about the end result. Thing I talked about, you know, in the beginning.
Everybody.
Part of the reason we're passionate about starting this podcast, and we hope to over time start to bring you that value, is to get to know the work behind the things that we love to celebrate. That what you're celebrating is 1 second of this person's life. You get what I'm saying? There's like a real grind to get to that point.
Yes.
Real work. And the sooner you learn to embrace the work, that's why when in the beginning you're able to get 14 people start off
everybody's
with you.
Everybody's hype. Everybody's excited.
But
about
towards
the
end, you're stuck with just you and Rich now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yep. And it was funny because out of all the people I met, it was 13 of us, but Rich is actually my business partner. He's from Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm from Brooklyn, New York. And not only that, is he's African American, and I'm Puerto Rican and Dominican.
Mm.
You know? So it's a total opposite of people, but yet on the same goal. Which then shows you that as long as people have the understanding of what they want to do,
mm-hmm.
and the final goal,
mm-hmm.
the way that you get there can be different.
For sure.
But you don't have to separate. You don't have to leave that person. You know, that person is that person there to help you. You know, you always need help.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful when someone understands that. You know, definitely with you and me and Rich, it helps. It makes everything easier when you have that extra hand.
For sure. You know? And to touch about, like, you know, not taking it personal when things don't work out, when you had a vision that you're supposed to go to a certain destination with your squad.
At a certain age, you're supposed to make it.
Right. Yeah. And people start to fall off. You have to trust your process.
Yes.
And trust, you know, I don't know what people's religion is. I'm not overly religious, but I'm spiritual. And I'm saying trust God. Because, like, he's always looking out for you. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're all, what's it called? We're all on our path.
Yes.
And sometimes the path will take this person that way. It doesn't make them a bad person.
That's my thing, yes. That's
you
my
know?
Thing, yes,
and
exactly.
And you yourself can't hold on too much to what it means, because God is just taking, we're all God's children.
Yeah.
Well, all, you know what I'm saying?
Everybody's human being, man. I'm saying.
You know, our paths may not be meant to kind of merge. And sometimes it's meant for you to take a break and, you know, and then come back later sometimes. But other times it's just like whatever the person was meant to bring into your life is done. Thank God, you know, keep it moving.
Keep it moving.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, it's doing your own thing, you know, making sure everything's in your hands. You want to make sure that. You know, it's a lot of people, I think the famous thing always is, you know, if you want something done right, you do it yourself.
Do it yourself.
But sometimes take it easy with that. You know, a lot of people run away with that. And that's one thing that I see.
That's overwhelming.
Man,
what? You
take
will,
it easy.
Oh, your energy is everything. And we are working with very limited energy. Doing that, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm a fighter. I'm a beast. Like, what you mean?
But
you run out.
And it's pros and cons. You're totally right. If you want anything done correctly, you do it yourself. But you gotta
have. My version of that is you should know, you as a leader should at least have an idea of a direction and learn how to lead a team. If you have to take a management class, if you have to go, you know, work under someone else who's a great leader and learn some of their leadership skills, because your business is you. I always say every business is literally, we're looking at the
Yeah.
The owner, we're watching their growth as they become better as a person. Yeah. You see the growth in their business.
Yes, yes.
If they're going through financial or emotional problems, you see the reflection in the business. So you always got to take care of yourself. And
I mean, same thing. I think, what was it? Because it's amazing when you see where clothing lines start from. Like the idea of when people start a clothing line, or I'm sorry, when anybody starts anything, it's pretty much, I guess, they have an idea of what they want to do and everything. Right. When you have that first plan that breaks down, because of course you will have a plan that breaks down.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, no matter what you do, you will have a plan that breaks down.
Of course.
When that plan breaks down, at that point, you then have to make the decision, are you a person who improvises, or are you somebody who only does things that's planned? Because if things do not go as planned, which I'm sorry, you're in the wrong business.
Yeah.
If things do not go as planned, you get destroyed because you're like, okay, I had everything planned.
Mm-hmm.
When you improvise and you have things on the fly, it's not the best thing because you're doing things on the fly.
Yeah.
But it then lets you fix problems on the fly.
And it helps you work with, here I am with the spiritually stuff, but it helps you work with the universe because God, I didn't know I was going to end up talking so much about God. but you know what I'm saying? Look at God. Like, look what he's doing. He chilling. He, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's controlling the world. So if you try to make it all about you and your vision, then you, like, don't leave room for... How many times have you been surprised? Like, you know, for example, with events, there's been times when I'm stressed.
Yes.
I'm thinking, this shit going to be empty, blah, blah, blah. And then sales come out of nowhere.
Sold out
shows. Every single show I've had has been sold out.
Facts,
every single time I'm physically dying of stress because I'm thinking, damn, like,
I don't know,
this shit might not be packed, you know. I mean, I'm lucky that, thank God, it's been good, but now we're ready to elevate it to a next level where we want to start to do brand partnerships, sponsorships, so that we can give people a better, higher quality shows.
Because
in the beginning, our goals were, pack out the house, try to get the designers good relationships so they can elevate their brand from each show and give you guys a good time.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know how I ended up on
that. Oh, we're not. They're definitely.
But yeah.
That's funny.
So let's talk about some pop culture stuff.
Pop culture. Yes, do that. Please.
Yeah.
Do that.
So I want to start off with a moment of silence for Diddy's ex, Kim Porter. You know, I didn't know her well, but I met Quincy before in LA, and honestly, when I found out about it, I cried.
I'm not
gonna lie to you.
Wow.
I couldn't control it. I didn't intentionally cry. I was just like,
okay.
I was bawling. I was like, why am I crying like this?
Yeah.
And I think I was crying for a couple things. The one thing is because obviously, she's young, 47, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, but shocking.
And also, she had kids, you know, Quincy, I forgot the other son's name, and then the twin girls. They just seem like such beautiful kids, and now they have to learn about death at such an early age.
I feel you.
You know, and then with her, I just feel like it also reminded me of our mortality and how, any one of us could go.
That's true. I mean, any day, yeah.
We take our lives for granted. We take our youth for granted because she's rich. She's
young. And that's my point. My point
private
with
chefs.
My point with that is always, I always find that a little disturbing. I mean, God rest her soul. I don't like to speak about the dead and bad about the dead, and I won't be speaking bad about the dead. But it's one of those things that the presence of when a famous person passes between anybody else's past is quite disturbing on a level to saying that. Not think Porter wasn't somebody who was important, but it's shocking to me that her being the wife of Diddy then caused a news alert.
You don't
of her
think it's
passing.
Newsworthy?
I don't think. Honestly, it's not that newsworthy. Mm-hmm. I think anybody passing is newsworthy.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that her passing, there's a lot of people that pass. You know, a lot of things that should be recognized by. And her passing is sad and it's horrific. And not only that, it's like I said, it's eye-opening because, damn, she's 47 years old. That's young, you know? So that's
and
scary.
And look good. Like, she's not overweight. You feel she's, me? You know what I'm saying? That like, part, she looked like she take care of herself.
That part is scary. But besides that, one of the things that, a perfect example, like, I mean, you see me being in the military, you know, forget about that. But people in the military, when they pass, they give maybe three sentences in the newspaper of their hometown.
Yeah.
And then you got this person who me personally, I'm, you know, once again, not speaking bad about her. Me personally, I didn't even know who she was, you know. I don't, this is Diddy's wife. And I'm like this, oh, okay, cool. Terrible news.
Yeah.
But I'm like, okay. I mean, well, we're going to like shut down, you're going to shut down 36?
Yeah.
So I was like.
Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying. I just get mad when people who didn't show the person love before
want
to come out the woodwork.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you never supported this person's work. You never tried to shout them out. Now they're dead. You acting like you had mad love for them.
Where
stop.
Drake always said, don't be fake and show up to my funeral.
For real. Like, yo, my shit, I'm going to raise up out the dead just to tell you off. I'm petty. Like,
well, I'm put on my will to turn me over and tell everybody.
These people, I'm going to put on my will, like, if these people show up, you need to escort them out, otherwise I'm coming up, like, for real.
Facts, because
I get what you're saying, and you have a point. I think a lot of people are supporting them more, not so much who she was, because people didn't really talk about her that much. I think it's mostly because she was young and she died peacefully, like, she wasn't sick. Okay. I mean, they say she was dealing with like a flu, but like, you know, like, died in her sleep.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
that's
that
serious.
Is scary, and it shocks you and reminds you, like, yo, that shit could happen to me too.
Then maybe I guess the next thing would be the next topic going into this to transfer to the next one.
Yeah,
is the perception of it. You know, the perception of the way you like look at her and the way you look at Dev. People have different aspects. Like you said, you know, we both had different takes on the situation.
For sure.
But like Kanye West.
Yeezy. Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, he's crazy.
I love that man, but he needs healing.
No.
I'm glad he's in Africa.
Oh, well, it's
Kanye.
It's not.
Like, yo, what's up? You need love around you. I could tell. I know you're in love. You know, your wife looked like she's being loved. She's the best that she ever been her whole life, but son, like, something's happening, but I love you though.
With me and Kanye, definitely is one of those hate love relationships.
I know you love Kanye.
No, I don't love him, but one thing I love about him, no matter what he says, even things I do not accept.
Yeah.
He says it. And he says it.
But that's not responsible.
No.
Part of being an adult is filtering your messages, especially knowing that they're gonna hit. Get a little diary, get a video.
It's filtering.
If you need to vent, talk to yourself first, and as a person whose words matter to our youth,
but
you're gonna be careful what you say.
But I'm trying to say it's filtering to a point, though. Because I'm saying yes, if I'm looking at this woman and I'm like, oh, the woman, I'm like, oh, that woman's ugly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna go up to her, but you're ugly. You know what I'm saying? Of course, I'm not gonna say that.
Part of being an adult, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But what I'm trying to say, but if she's out there and she's being rude, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not gonna be rude. The thing is that with Kanye has beliefs. And he doing things when he says it. So that's one thing I believe with him. Because the news that we just spoke about was about him giving $15,000 to Sally, the security guard that was killed.
Mm-hmm.
Which is another thing I'm trying
to... Wait, I didn't know about that.
You know about the security guard?
No.
Well, there was a security guard. And once again, it's, you know, back with a black crime, black hate crime. That's what they're doing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
There was a criminal at a venue. I'm not sure what venue it was, but he was a security guard, and somebody was in there, I guess with a gun or with a weapon, something. Mm-hmm. He was armed.
Okay.
After he was armed, the security guard then took this person down or whatever, went outside to tell the cops where the security, the suspect was at.
Hold on 1 second.
And then,
keep going.
Oh, I'm waiting for you.
So,
okay. Oh, yeah. I'm talking to you, though.
Security guard.
Yeah, so the security guard had a... he was at a venue. and he had a suspect. And he went outside to the police officer that was coming in to arrest the suspect.
Okay.
And when they came in, sadly, he got shot by the police officers because they thought he was the suspect that they
were
looking
black?
For. Oh, yes, he was black. So that's one of the things. So
was he not in his security outfit?
Once again, I'm assuming he was. I'm assuming he would be in his security outfit.
Okay. That sounds like some bullshit.
It sounds like bullshit, but the point of what I'm trying to get at, because that's definitely a different thing, and I'm not taking that away because that is a serious problem. Exactly. That's a serious problem.
There's a fucking genocide going on, but we're not going to talk about it.
Oh, no. We are going to talk about that. So here we go.
Like, that shit is bullshit.
But the thing, Kanye then gave the family money.
How much?
Only 15,000.
He spends that in an hour, but I get it.
That wasn't his problem or his situation. He gave it out from the kindness of his heart.
God
bless
him.
I mean, once again, this man is also opening up
tax deductible. No, I'm just kidding.
You know what I'm saying?
Damn, Naomi.
But he's working with Chance the Rapper, opening up programs in Chicago.
He's doing good.
You know,
good
his
things.
Main thing with Donald Trump was to make things working with Chicago.
No, listen. Did you hear the meeting?
I know.
It was as if a fool was speaking, as if he never attended school.
No.
A lot of the things he said were not factually based. Like, dude, you got to relax. Like, a lot of people, especially, you know, I'm a huge Kanye fan. So let me say that to begin. I know you're like kind of dabble. I'm a huge Kanye fan. Like, I love him. But I'm just saying he's being real irresponsible, and I don't understand media. I know nothing about navigating media, how to keep their attention, what the value, you know, at what point do you draw the line, like how far people are willing to go for attention and what they do with that attention. And I know that there is probably more awesome stuff that Kanye does that we don't know.
Yes.
But I'm just saying, just be more responsible. You get to sit with Donald Trump, the president, and one of the first few things you bring up is that, basically, I'm bringing up a lot of stereotypes about black people. Like, well, you know, the black family, these are the problems with the black family because the man doesn't have a job and you know, welfare, I feel like it's crippling. So you should probably take away welfare. Like, you're not going to address the reason why people needed welfare. You're not going to talk about the fact that white people built wealth off handouts that was given to them you know, the New Deal.
What?
This country has always helped people, so don't try to make black people feel bad. And welfare, by the way, is not a black thing, so let's kill that stereotype, because there's more white people on welfare than black people. But
also the thing with that is also the perception of what his life is than to everybody
else. You don't relate, so don't speak up on it.
But that's the difference of it, because the thing is that, what me personally, I want anybody of power, anybody with money or influence, use it in a positive way. So yes, I want that person to be involved in politics and all that.
You know what would be good? If Kanye had brought with him an activist. Yo, Donald Trump, I am so passionate about my community. Here's a gentleman whose name you might have never known if I didn't bring him to your attention. But he works tirelessly. He loses sleep. And he has some solutions. Somebody that's educated on the matter. And you know, because there's activists that work day in and day out that we don't know of. Sorry, guys. Somebody keep interrupting our show. But Chris, continue.
No. I'm going to say, Kevin, we're going to cut this out.
More annoyed. Why didn't you just text me?
Because I didn't have my phone.
Come sit right here. I think the mic's better this way. This Olu.
Hey, man.
He a rapper.
Oh, okay.
He a rapper. What the
fuck? He does a lot of shit too, but he does a lot. Olu is a creative, marketing, great mind, but he also is an Afrobeat artist. And if you keep up, Afrobeat is next up. So what's up, Olu? Pull up a mic. Let me make sure you didn't ruin my angles, though.
You on the camera?
Duh.
This camera.
Yo, don't put this shit online.
Don't touch the camera. You don't want to be on. You gotta see. You can't see.
Hey, what's up?
Come closer.
Back up more. Yeah.
Mic check 1, 2.
Okay. Move all that shit. I don't need none of it. It's just display.
Yeah, you should try on front. Like,
yeah, front. Like fronting.
I'm looking at my notes.
I don't have no damn notes. It's just a bunch of crap.
Meeting
notes. That's hilarious.
Okay, hold up. Can I get in there? Oh.
What's up?
What's up?
Oh, Luke, you guys speaking to the mic.
Tell me your name again.
Chris.
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 My best friend, this business best partner, friend?
Wow.
Co-host.
You trust Nigerians?
Here he go, but he Nigerian though. You may not trust.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm Nigerian American.
You mean, anyways, let's not get into it.
Oh, yeah, okay, goodness. Here we go.
Anyway, so thank you for joining us, Olu.
Thank you for having me.
Olu's going to be freestyling for us towards the end. But
word. Okay. I ain't sign up for that, but you know what I'm saying? I'll do it now.
I got you. But just to continue the conversation, we talking about Yeezy, Kanye.
Oh, yeah? What about Yeezy?
What are we talking about specifically?
Oh, well, no, wait. We read about him giving money for the security guard that got shot not that long ago.
Mm.
Yeah, he gave money to the family, involving himself into that. We talked about him and Chance the Rapper opening up programs for children in Chicago.
Beautiful.
And him doing his thing. I mean, yes, he has his off moments, like which we were talking about.
In general, what do you feel about Kanye? And I mean, he's kind of slowed down now, which I'm happy about. I just want him to be okay. That's my main thing.
I think he's okay. He's doing good.
Yeah,
work.
Yeah. I think he's okay. I think he just have his own thing.
Can't.
You know, I think he has his own.
The Donald Trump meeting. What did you think about that?
I mean, Donald Trump is a swindler. He's a finesse, like.
Straight thug running the country.
And
fraud.
And scammers out here. He's,
yeah.
You know. Anyway.
But did you see when Kanye West met with Trump?
Yeah, sort of. I don't really pay attention to the
news politics
as much, but I did see it a little bit, and I think it has so many other implications that we probably don't know about, and you know. I don't want to get too deep into the conspiracy.
All right, so I'm a slow down. I might cut off a lot of what I said because I be going hard when it comes. I be going hard when it comes to politics, and I definitely didn't want
really?
To talk. I didn't want this to be too much of a politics.
Can I ask you a few
show.
Questions then? Are you really into politics?
I am.
Wow.
I care so
I
much. Like,
well, what do you think about the women's movement? And,
the Me
politics.
Too thing?
No, the women's movement in terms of just women, you know, being more active and
I think
you know,
it's great. I think like
positions and things like that.
I think it's awesome. I think it's about time. You know, it was staggering to actually realize how underrepresented women are in politics. But to see that, you know, as you guys I'm sure feel, no matter what you think about women, feminine energy is good. And I'm surprised it took them this long to start to realize or present opportunities to women. If I mean, societies that allow women leadership end up growing. So I think it's only going to be positive for us.
Definitely, definitely. I have no problem with that. With that also, I noticed that the trending of female rappers, something like that, is something
it's feminine energy globally.
Totally.
Like, I think there's something with fire. The universe. Like, it's time.
Cause I agree. I think this is the time of the women. I think women are definitely on their rise up.
Women
and
are
I mean,
healers.
I'm telling you, but that music to me is the one key. J. Cole said something, and I think it should be taken as a pro. He said it as a con. He says rap music is becoming pop. And when he said that, he said it as a bad thing, like, oh, becoming pop. And I'm like, I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because pop was a music genre that was controlled by white people,
mm-hmm.
you know? But not only that, Michael Jackson is the king of pop.
Yeah.
Not only that, because he's the king of pop, Michael Jackson is ranked the number one artist of all time.
Yeah.
So when you hear that rap is now becoming pop, that means that rap is now finally has its spot at number one.
Yeah. I mean, I think what he might have meant, and I can't speak for him, I don't know nothing about him, is really touching about what is it called? Appropriation, right? I had a discussion with my friend before about this. My thing is, with globalism, we're all going to have to share our culture. And for us,
there you go.
Rap
okay.
is a form of culture. But what I get frustrated with is when, you know, people start to be interested in a certain culture, but the people that benefit from that new interest aren't the people whose culture we're copying. For example, like, I'm African, right? one thing that's really popular, when I was growing up, what, being African was hard. I was made fun of. It was not cool. Nobody was trying to claim, you know, shout out to all my African American brothers and sisters, but y'all was not claiming us. Like, y'all was talking shit the most. Word. I'm sorry. But now it's cool to be African, which I love. Like, we all should love our identity.
Yes.
And there's a new interest in African fashion. But a lot of the fashion that's popular is coming out of China, and that's frustrating to me. So I think with back to J. Cole, people being interested in hip hop, but some of the most popular emerging rappers are not black.
Oh, well, that's... Oh,
and it's kind of...
Oh, well, yeah.
Not necessarily black, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
I just have a question. Did you mean that a lot of the fashion of
manufacturing...
African, yeah, exactly, is being manufactured in
China? In China, that's what I mean.
Okay, I got what you're saying. That's
yeah. Sorry. And it's unfair. You know, I feel like... appropriation is inevitable. People shouldn't get emotional about it. You can't control it. Like, yeah. We all sharing cultures. I have nose rings. I don't know where that culture comes from. I just like it. Like,
I don't think you should try to control
you
know?
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Gotta,
yeah.
Like, you still got to, like, there has to be some, respect. Like, some culture police.
A boundary,
to
yeah.
some degree. We don't want to have, like, culture dictators, but we want to have some kind of culture police because we don't want people to just, like, kind of,
take over
go and crazy with it, you
and
know
dilute
what
it pretty much,
or disrespect
or
it
disrespect
too.
It.
Yeah,
like, it's like you know, destroying a monument or something like that. You know, defacing it or something like that. If my culture's a monument and you like come in like, hey, honky tonk monkey, you would have
whatever. Yeah,
you know, for example, you know, you feel a little bit of a way. It's like my name is Oluwa Toby, but my parents call me Toby. You know what I mean? So, you know, when I grew up, it was like Roots, you know. Like, what's your name, boy?
Hell no. Kunta. Oh, that's what they were saying, too.
That's terrible.
Your name is
Toby,
boy. But,
I can't.
I didn't really care. I didn't care, you know, at the beginning. But later on in life, I started to feel like, damn, my name is you know, in Yoruba, it means God is great. So how could you let somebody make fun of your name in that kind of
knowing
slanderous,
what it means.
Knowing what it means. So I didn't. For a long time, I just told people, don't call me Toby. It's Olu. You know what I mean? It was more commanding.
At least Olu is God.
Yeah. I mean, Toby means great. So that's good, too. But still, like, it's not, I won't say it's a form of appropriation, but it's almost like, it's kind of just defacing somebody's culture because you don't know about it. Or because you feel like you could just take it and do your own shit with it. Excuse my language.
And that's what he might be talking about too, is that hip hop was kind of an outlet for people to talk about the struggle going on in the inner city.
Okay.
And now it's just like glorifying.
The only thing that I would disagree with that, because then if you go into a deeper level, not deep level, but a higher level like Jay-Z or Lil Wayne, they don't rap about the same stuff no more.
But it's a few. Oh, you mean they grow?
I'm saying, I'm saying because you're growing because you're not the same kid no more.
But yeah.
You're talking about Maybachs now, and well, I don't know about no Maybachs.
No, I will.
Wait, finish.
We have to wrap it up.
Wrap it up. Okay.
Go ahead.
No, we're not gonna wrap it up yet. We're gonna wrap it up. Okay, brother. Anyway, no. What I was saying is like
And after that thought, do you want to do a freestyle or no? Olu just dropped a project. You guys should support him. Shout out all your contact information.
Is this really going out or is this just like a test?
Yeah, it is. We can only go out and it's really going out. We can send it after four episodes, but sure, it is. Right. But so you just dropped a project, so shout out your
to my project.
Your project, where they can find you, and then do a quick 60 second little drop
with
Afro beat meets Brooklyn style.
I can't wait to hear this.
The pressure.
So I just dropped a new project. It's called Feel Like Fella.
Okay.
You know, it's under Black Press, Presido. You can find it on Spotify, you know, Google Play, iTunes, all that good stuff, SoundCloud. And I guess I'll just go into some kind of a freestyle because we got to wrap it up soon. Yes. All right. Hot like lava. Cruising down the strip with Baba. Yes. Nakuna Matata means no worries. You know bada. No. Nigga, we so bada. Yes. Original wave dandadas. Eh? To my Brooklyn shatter. 3 times in the air for me now. Blocker.
That's Olu. So make sure you guys follow him. Black, B-L-A-C-K.
No, B-L-K-P-R-E-S.
B-L-K-P-R-E-S. That's Olu. And again, I'm Naomi with Street Fashion Week.
And I am Chris with Significant Problems.
And this is Street Society
Podcast. Hey.